the righteousness of God, baptized into Christ, present suffering and future glory, all themes from the book of Romans. And you can delve deeply into Paul's letter to the Romans with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, the Concordia Commentary on Romans 1 through 8. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Commentary on Romans 1 through 8 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children.
Jesus understands very well that for him to do these works, it's like when he told the man, your sins are forgiven. Jesus was signing his own death warrant.
Truly, the disease of my soul must be great and deadly if it can only be cured because the heavenly physician, life itself, dies on a cross.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Here's one of those stories that really gets a workout. In Sunday school lessons, kids are told the story about Jesus nearing Jerusalem, and he comes across 10 lepers. The lepers approach him, and he sends them off. He says, go off, show yourselves to the priest. And as they go, their leprosy is healed. There's the healing story. But usually the Sunday school lesson doesn't stop there. Usually, when the one comes back who proves to be a Samaritan, the only one who comes back to give praise to God, the lesson to be learned, or so we're told, is that you need to be more grateful. I mean, Jesus appreciates doing all these things for you, but I don't know how much longer he's going to keep it up if you are so ungrateful and so thankless. And not only the Sunday school lessons get taught that way, but sermons get preached that way as well. Is that what this text in Luke chapter 17 is all about, Jesus cleansing 10 lepers? Is it about the 9 who lacked sufficient gratitude to come back and thank Jesus for the favor? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon, the 28th of August. Our Pastor's Roundtable for the first 45 minutes of the program, Pastor Jeff Hemmer and Pastor Sean Denzer join us in the second hour of the program, actually a little bit later in this first hour and on into the second hour through the entire hour. We're going to be talking about atheism with the Happy Atheist. Dr. P.Z. Myers will join us. He's written a new book called The Happy Atheist. You might have seen something about that. We'll talk with the author himself, see what he has to say about atheism. One of his basic messages in the book is that religion is ridiculous and reality is cool. And we'll give him a chance to tell us what's the most ridiculous thing about Christianity, not just religion in general, but Christianity in particular. That's hour two of Issues, Etc. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a question for our pastor's roundtable here in the first 45 minutes at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Jeff Hemmer is a regular guest pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Jeff, welcome in.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
Joining us from, Great Bend, North Dakota, where he's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Barney, North Dakota, and Trinity Lutheran in Great Bend, Pastor Sean Denzer. Pastor Denzer, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's an honor, Todd.
Jeff, is this account of the 10 lepers, Jesus healing all 10 of them, is this essentially about our lack of gratitude, our lack of thankfulness?
You mean, can we learn from the stories and the Gospels the correct moral things to do? Probably not. In fact, it's not so much a story about just returning to, you know, to write a thank you note. Your mother can teach you that just as well as the Gospel reading can. But it's a message. The point is, he returns to not just to give thanks to Jesus, but to praise Jesus. He returns in worship to Jesus, who is the source not just of his healing, but of his having been saved. And so I'm sure we'll unpack that phrase when we get to it later. What Jesus says to him is that not just your faith has saved you, or that your faith has made you well, but your faith has saved you. And so Jesus praises the Samaritan, the outsider, praises his faith. And so the Samaritan leper, healed of his leprosy, who returns to Jesus, serves for us as an example of what to do with a similar kind of faith, a faith that has saved us. What do? We return to Jesus.
Pastor Denzer, give us some of the context in Luke's gospel here. We're here in the 17th chapter, but what has come before and what comes after that helps us understand the place of this account in the entire story that Luke is telling?
Well, Jesus really has been traveling toward Jerusalem. This phrase that starts off our text is on the way to Jerusalem, or as he's going on to Jerusalem. And that kind of started right as he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And then in chapter 9, there's that really important phrase that he sets his face toward Jerusalem. In fact, he's right in the area of the Samaritans right then, and they're kind of put off by the fact that his face is toward Jerusalem, and they don't receive him as a result of it. So there's a connection there. That kind of phrase, that he's on his way to Jerusalem, repeats again in chapter 13. And then here we have yet another time where he says he's on his way toward Jerusalem. And, of course, the next time he says it will be in chapter 19, and that's just before he begins in. We have that context that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's been going through the northern regions. Now he's kind of between Samaria and Galilee, up north, and he's going to be coming on down south to ultimately go to Jerusalem, of course, to go to the cross.
So in Luke's gospel, when for the reader who isn't just running through this the first time as a story, but for the student of Luke's gospel who looks at this and understands that kind of indicator there in the text, when Jerusalem is mentioned, which Jesus is setting his face toward that, is that really a reminder to the reader, even this early in the story, about his ultimate destination at the cross that you just mentioned?
I think it is. I mean, it also kind of casts the entire parable in that light, you know. Somebody has said before that really all of the Gospels are kind of passion narratives, and then they've got these long introductions, right? And Luke does such a good job getting it in there, and maybe Mark is even more like that, because it's always talking about immediately. It really can't wait to get to the cross. So same thing here. And everything that happens on the way is by no means insignificant to the sort of main event, his cross and his resurrection. But it needs to be considered in that light, because that's what Jesus certainly has on his mind. And there's lots of reflection of that in these events that happen too.
So there are these 10 lepers. If you would, Pastor Hemmer, just give us a rundown of what kind of plight these men find themselves in by virtue of whatever the disease is that's being referred to as leprosy. That's always kind of unclear. Who are these guys? What can we say about them?
Well, they're, you learn from Leviticus, there are specific rules that lepers have to follow. They're outsiders. They're cast out of the community. They have to wear a particular kind of clothing that distinguishes them. Their clothing has to be tattered such that people who see them know right away that they shouldn't go near them. I believe they're also not allowed to cut their hair, but they have long hair and ragged clothing. So immediately you can tell a leper from a distance, so that you don't even come close, that you don't even catch his leprosy. And then they have to walk around saying, unclean, unclean. They're not allowed to be in the presence of anyone who doesn't have leprosy. They're considered unclean ceremonially and also physically unclean. Their disease is highly contagious, but they're cast outside of the worshiping community of God's people because of this disease. So, and then they have to warn everyone whom they encounter so that you keep your distance from the leper. So, and you can see they're kind of following the rules here when they approach Jesus from a distance. They cry out to him, have mercy on us. Standing far off, they cry out, have mercy on us.
What are your thoughts there, Jeff? Do you think that they are they requesting to be healed, or are they just begging, as lepers would have had to do? That's the circumstances would have forced them into poverty and into public begging.
Yeah, but they can't exactly beg in the same way that that we encounter so many other beggars, because you just can't go near the lepers. So you can't...
They can't be sitting on your front step of your house.
Right, right. They don't sit right along the common thoroughfares like the other kinds of beggars would. So this is, I mean, this is the beggar's petition. This "Lord, have mercy" is the prayer that that the beggars pray. And so in what they ask of Jesus, there is a confession that they really are beggars, but they're so much worse off than other kinds of beggars, because they don't they can't be in the normal community, so they can't rely on the mercy of people whom they encounter every day. I mean, lepers stay with lepers, and you know, with just a bunch of outsiders, there's not a lot of hope for living on the mercy of other lepers.
Pastor Denzer, with about a minute here before we take our break, Pastor Hemmer had mentioned one of the consequences of having this disease would be a ceremonial uncleanness according to Levitical law. And then, as a consequence of that, of course, inability, a prohibition against participating in the worship life of the people. What would that have meant, with about a minute or so before we take our break?
Yes. All of those things that he mentioned, the tattered clothes and the long hair and having to cry out unclean is a very is a word that's definitely connected to the spiritual life of the people. There's a distinction between clean and unclean comes out very clearly throughout Leviticus, and it's a distinction that God makes in things. The number one place, besides being outside the camp, outside their family, outside their homes, they are excluded from the sanctuary. In Second Chronicles, of course, we have the King Uzziah, who gets some kind of leprous disease, the worst kind, in fact, that's on his face, and he's not allowed to go in the sanctuary. He's forbidden to enter the house of the Lord for the rest of his life. That really eliminates their opportunity to eat the holy food that's there, to be a part of the sacrifices, and to be a part of the divine service that happens in the temple.
Pastor Sean Denzer and Pastor Jeff Hemmer are Pastor's Roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 28th. We're in Luke chapter 17. Jesus cleanses the lepers. His response to their request for mercy when we come back.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes Store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at BethanyLCMS.org.
Praise the Lord.
Stanza one of the hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Our Pastor's Roundtable here in the first hour of the program. We're going through Luke chapter 17, Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Pastor Jeff Hemmer and Pastor Sean Denzer are our guests. Now, the listener with the best question or comment in the next half hour will receive the Lutheran Study Bible. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email with your question or your comment. Right here in the studio, we get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, where you can leave a question for the Pastor's Roundtable, facebook.com/issuesetc. In verse 14, Pastor Denzer, it says, when he saw them, that is when Jesus saw the lepers, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. No conversation, no what do you want, no how do you do, no go, you're healed, nothing. It's just go show yourselves to the priests. What in the world is he saying?
Well, it's a reference back to Leviticus, chapter 13, as Pastor Hemmer talked about, is where they list off all these different various sorts of leprous diseases, and that's the first step, is really to show yourself to the priest. That's a part that really all 10 of them would be able to participate in. The priest would come outside the camp even, and he would inspect them and figure out, okay, what kind of thing are we dealing with here? And there might be some quarantine involved. Perhaps they'd be declared unclean. If they had been leprous, which these guys have been, they would have to go through then the cleansing rites that are spelled out in 14, which involves a couple different sacrifices and a couple different processes. But that all assumes that he looks at them and sees that indeed they are cleansed. So that's what Jesus has in mind, but I think you make a really good point that he just says, go, show yourselves to the priests, and as of right then, they don't have anything to go on.
So it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. I guess the question for you there, Pastor Hemmer, is, as a Samaritan, would he have been permitted, even if he had no leprosy, would he have been permitted into all the things that he was excluded from that we talked about before the break?
No, this guy's got it doubly bad. Not only is he a leper, so he's ritually unclean, but he's a Samaritan, and so Samaritans would not have been welcomed into the worshiping community of the Jews. There's this this rift between the Jews and the Samaritans, so Jesus tells him to go and show himself to the priest, but even if he shows himself to the priest and turns out to be without leprosy, he's not going to be welcomed into the worshiping community anyway. I mean, he's still a Samaritan. He can't be cured of being a Samaritan.
So in effect, even if he is inspected by the priest, found to be without the disease any longer, the priest is going to say, now get out of here, Samaritan. He's not going to say, go make the sacrifice, go down to Jerusalem, make the necessary sacrifices for ritual cleansing. He's going to say, see you later, foreigner.
Yeah, he's not allowed to come into the temple, not allowed to make sacrifices there. So the Samaritans kind of have to persist in sin, in offering sacrifices in the high places, one of the things in the Old Testament that just makes God irate. Even when the sacrifices are offered with a right heart and a right mind, but in the wrong place, God is not pleased, such that sacrifices offered in the wrong place are one of the causes for God to send his people off into exile or to bring foreign invaders in against them. So the Samaritan's got everything wrong going for him. He can't worship correctly, and he's got this physical malady that keeps him cast out of God's people.
Does he have any place to go, Pastor Denzer?
Well, the Samaritans, I think the interesting question is, are they Gentiles or are they Jews? Well, kind of yes. They're a mixture. They're those left over from the people who were in the northern kingdom when it was conquered by Assyria, intermarried and intermingled in with those the Assyrians brought in to take over the land. And so they have some aspects of their worship that is similar or even straight out of Israelite worship. They have the first five books of the Bible that that they hold as canonical, but they don't have any of the prophets or any of the other books. And in fact, some things are changed in that Bible, particularly that they don't worship at Jerusalem. They worship at Mount Gerizim, which is in Samaria. That's one of those high places that Pastor Hemmer mentioned where they would have their sacrifices, according to Leviticus, one of the first five books, but not in Jerusalem.
So it seems, Pastor Hemmer, that I'm put in mind of all the kind of other Samaritan things that happen. There's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus includes him there. There's the Samaritan woman. There's all sorts of Samaritans Jesus is running into all the time. Ultimately, what is Jesus' message to them or about them?
Well, it's where he ends in the pericope today when he tells this Samaritan that your faith has saved you. And you notice when Jesus himself is accused of being a Samaritan, when they say, are we not right that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? The only thing that he corrects in that accusation is that he has a demon. I don't have a demon, but you are of your father the devil, he says. But he doesn't, even though he's physically not a Samaritan, he is like the Samaritans. He is an outsider to God's people. So he is then, he can certainly be one in whom the Samaritans find their hope. And he who predicts the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem promises to raise it back up again, the Samaritans can find comfort that the temple that he speaks of is not the temple that they're excluded from, but it's the temple that is his body. And so he's the one who's led outside of Jerusalem, and he becomes the sacrifice outside Jerusalem, outside the temple, outside the ordinary place where sacrifices are offered. So Samaritans can have hope in this Savior.
Two places here in this account, it says that the man who returned healed. Well, I guess we should note something. We should not conclude that the other nine are not healed. We just don't hear from them again. Do we, Pastor Danzer?
I think that's probably right. Well, it does say that they're all healed, and maybe even that they had some kind of faith, because, like we had mentioned, they went ahead and went off, presumably, to show themselves to the priests, but that was even before they had been cleansed, and while they were going, then they finally were cleansed.
Then, when we hear twice in this text, Pastor Danzer, that he turns back to give thanks to God with a loud voice, then it says, he went there and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then Jesus says in verse 18, was one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? Is Luke, through the way of telling the story, equating Jesus himself with the deity?
I really think so, because the way a lot of these stories work is whatever falls in the center is always the thing that is really kind of focused on. And both those two verses fall in the center. One, that he turns back praising God with a loud voice, and that he falls at Jesus' feet giving him thanks. Most of the places in the scriptures in the New Testament, especially in Luke, when thanksgiving is going on, it's always happening to God, and praise is often happening to God too, except here they're put together and it's all happening at Jesus' feet. And of course, falling on your face at someone's feet is definitely a sign of worship.
Jesus,
and I think a fruit of his faith, yeah.
Is Jesus accepting worship as God, Pastor Hemmer? Is he accepting divine worship?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there can be no mistaking. Any other time someone falls down on his face, like you think of John in the book of Revelation, the angel won't permit John to be prostrate before him in worship. But here, Jesus permits and, in fact, praises the worship of this leper, who, having been healed of his leprosy, returns to Jesus to worship and to adore and to confess him by the very posture of his body, to confess that he is the Lord who has saved him from his leprosy.
Let's, if you would, Pastor Hemmer, your thoughts as we get near this break on a phrase that you have mentioned several times here, the last verse here. It reads in the translation that I have in front of me,
He said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." What point do you want to make about that with about a minute before our break?
Well, the word that gets translated here, has made you well, certainly it does mean made you well, but it's a bigger word than that. It's a word that could mean saved really from any kind of peril. So there's sort of a double meaning to what Jesus says here. On one hand, his faith in Jesus is what has healed him of his leprosy, or more precisely, Jesus has healed him of his leprosy. But then when he returns in faith to worship at Jesus' feet, his faith does more than just heal him of his leprosy, but that kind of faith that clings to Jesus, that longs to receive from Jesus his gifts, that faith has saved him.
When we come back, we'll explore what that phrase means with Pastor Jeff Hemmer, Pastor Sean Denzer, our Pastor's Roundtable, for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break, and we'll get to some of your questions and comments.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
In your Lutheran liturgy, you have been entrusted with a precious birthright.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Don't let anyone persuade you that it's worth selling off for a pot of evangelical pottage. It is not. It is a wonderful gift.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's presentation, Making the Case for Classical Christian Worship, and teachings by Todd Wilkin, Rod Rosenblatt, Chris Roseborough, Alvin Schmidt, and Suzanne Venker on a new audio DVD for the Making the Case conference. For a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Peter Scare on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Concordia Theological Seminary invites you to prayerfully consider a free weekend event October 10th through the 12th. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155. Prayerfully consider October the 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. 1-800-481-2155. 800-481-2155. Choir of King's College with the hymn Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station. You might not know about it. It's called Lutheran Public Radio LutheranPublicRadio.org. And that's where you find it, LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's absolutely free. It's 24/7. It's sacred music, mostly, the vast majority, choral music, and it follows the course of the church year. That's what you're hearing right now, and that's what you'll hear 24/7 at LutheranPublicRadio.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're going through Luke chapter 17 with our pastor's roundtable on this Wednesday, August the 28th, Jesus healing 10 lepers. Pastor Jeff Hemmer and Pastor Sean Denzer are our guests. A couple questions here. This first one from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Jeff says, it just seems very ungrateful that the other 9 lepers didn't return to Jesus. Any clue to the reason why? What are your thoughts there, Jeff?
Well, they certainly do what Jesus tells them to do, but then they don't possess this kind of saving faith, it seems. They trust in Jesus to heal them of their leprosy, or at least to follow his command to go and show themselves to the priests. But what St. Luke seems to have recorded this incident for us is so that we find in this Samaritan leper healed of his leprosy an icon of faith, so that, you know, it's kind of like they still get healed of their leprosy, and they still believe that Jesus is the one who healed them from their leprosy, but they don't, at least as far as we understand, they don't possess a saving faith. It's kind of like the person who says, you know, Pastor, I believe in Jesus, but I don't need to go to church. Well, that's not faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus goes to Jesus. It goes to Jesus for the gifts that he comes to give out. So that's the kind of faith that that Jesus praises in the Samaritan, faith that goes and Eucharists gives thanks to Jesus. And I'm sure we'll return later to that word and the Eucharist.
Well,
is
let's
the way
do
of
it.
Giving thanks.
Let's talk a little bit about right now, since Jeff raises a question there. That Jeff from Oak Ridge raises a question of gratefulness and thankfulness. What is the connection for us there with that Thanksgiving becomes more than just gratitude? The Thanksgiving really becomes something by which Jesus continues to give, to heal, to forgive. Make that clear for us, if you would, Jeff.
Well, like the Augsburg Confession says, the highest worship of the gospel is the desire to receive God's gifts. Not what we can bring to Jesus, our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving, but really what Jesus desires, what he praises in this Samaritan here, is that he comes back to Jesus. And so also for us then.
For more. He comes back to Jesus for more.
Well, sure. And he comes back also to worship. But the point is, his faith brings him to Jesus. And there at Jesus' feet, he receives whatever it is that Jesus is giving out. So also we, with faith, we return to Jesus. We cling to him for forgiveness, we trust in him, and we seek out the times and the places where he gives us the opportunity to receive his gifts, to meet him in his divine service.
A related question for you, Pastor Denzer, from Mark in Apple Valley, Minnesota. Mark says, then he said to them, rise, go, your faith has made you well. Is this God, is it Christ's work for man? Were the other 9 healed, though their faith also, even though they did not return? Whose work is Jesus talking about, in essence, when he says to that man, your faith has made you well?
Good question. And really, this is, I mean, an important thing for when we understand faith. You know, I don't think it's wrong at all if anybody's feeling convicted by Jesus' words and this example, when he certainly seems to be pointing out the fact that 9, the majority, the vast majority, did not give thanks and were very ungrateful. If that causes anyone conscious to, you know, say, I think that's me, that's worth giving a little attention to and recognizing that I think we really are unthankful. We see all over, people are always trying to look at hindsight and say, and I think be quite spiritual or theological, perhaps, to see God at work, you know, or to claim here was God doing this or here was God doing that. But what I find certainly in myself is very little of me actually taking the time in prayer or in singing to actually give thanks to God for the tremendous amount of things he has given to us, not least of all this salvation and not least of all this faith. This phrase, your faith has made you well, or as Pastor Hemmer has pointed out, it can also be translated, and maybe should be, your faith has saved you, has already come up once in Luke. In Luke chapter 7, when the sinful woman comes to Jesus and is washing his feet with her hair at Simon's house, and he has that little confrontation with Simon over it, that's what he says at the end to her. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And, you know, but on the other hand, to Simon, he says something different. He says, you know, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And to Simon, he points out all of this love, or if you want to go back to our parable, or, excuse me, our healing, that Jesus is really pointing out this great thanksgiving. All of these, the thanksgiving, the praise, and the holy life that flows from faith, he points that out to Simon. But what does he say to the Samaritan, and what does he say to that sinful woman? He points out to them that faith has saved you, and that's a faith that isn't something we muster up in ourselves, but it's the faith that is created by God's promise, by his word, that has the effect. And as we see, all Jesus has to say is go. Really, that seems to almost be the operative word, and as they're going, they are cleansed.
Linda in California has a question about that double entendre that you mentioned before there, Jeff. Linda says, when Christ told the Samaritan to rise and go, your faith has made you well, wasn't he healed already? Could this indicate a wellness of his spiritual nature, she asks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she picks up on exactly what Pastor Denzer just pointed out. This Jesus spoke to the sinful woman about how she had been forgiven, using the same phrase. Now also to the leper. This, your faith has healed you, your faith has saved you. It's so much bigger than just being cured of a physical kind of leprosy, but it cures him of a greater malady, the sort of spiritual leprosy that all people are outsiders with regard to God. We're cast out, we are unclean until Jesus delivers forgiveness of sins, which we can only receive by faith. So she's right that that they all seem to receive the physical healing, but only one receives the greater healing, the spiritual healing, the sort of meaning beyond the ordinary text there, in your faith has saved you.
An interesting question. Go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think the Greek text almost supports this a little bit because it really has a progression of three different healing words. First of all, they're cleansed on the way. Then one of them, seeing that he was healed, the word used there is kind of just a general, you know, healing of disease, something like that. But cleansing, of course, has, and that's what Jesus says again, you know, we're not 10 cleansed, this purifying. And then finally, I think he really does use the strongest and, as Pastor Hemmer said, the broadest word. That this faith has actually made you well or saved you.
Damien in Jersey City, New Jersey, has a question, Pastor Denzer. Damien says, it's interesting, at first the leper stood far away. Then after being healed, the one thankful leper fell at Jesus' feet. I wonder if this is a picture of the access we have to God through faith in Christ. What are your thoughts there?
Definitely. There's actually another healing of a leper in Luke in chapter 5, and that time Jesus comes right out and touches him, which is quite a scandal, I think, for most Jews, because as we heard from all those Levitical laws, they're supposed to be separated. And yet Jesus takes the initiative to come and to reach out and literally touch that man. And in this case, Jesus, you know, doesn't back up. It doesn't say that he runs away or, you know, recoils in horror that this guy is so close to him. But he gladly receives that worship and that thanksgiving, because that worship and thanksgiving is coming from the faith that is inspired and is created by his promise and his word. And if we look at Hebrews, which of course is entirely connected to Leviticus and the Old Testament, all these purifications, we find that he is the one mediator, and we have access to the Heavenly Father through him with boldness and with confidence. So you had mentioned something really just in passing that I thought was perfect. This guy, it's almost as if he's not satisfied with that other thing. Of course, he never could have it in the same way that a Jew could. But he's coming back for more. He sees in Jesus everything he needs, and he's almost, you know, not satisfied with just a healing. He's coming back for more. But Jesus loves that. This text is also for Thanksgiving, and I just think of, you know, you go to your grandmother's house, and you could say thank you all day. She'd never let you help with the dishes or pay her back for anything. But the thing that would really make her most happy is if you'd just take a little more of that green bean casserole. And in the same thing, the highest worship is receiving the gifts that Jesus gives, and that's what faith does, and that's what faith is. And that's exactly what this guy's coming back for, more of Jesus.
Pastor Sean Denzer is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Barney, North Dakota, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota. Sean, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Pastor Jeff Hemmer is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Jeff, thanks for coming over.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Damien in Jersey City, New Jersey, if you would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you the Lutheran Study Bible. Folks, if you appreciate our weekly pastor's roundtables, why not post your thoughts about issues, etc., on iTunes. All you need to do is find Issues Etc., the podcast, at the iTunes store. Just search for it in their search engine. It's easy to find. When you get there, click ratings and reviews. Write a review for us, if you would. Say whatever you want to say. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org, contest@issuesetc.org. And everyone who writes your review between now and Labor Day is eligible to win an audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's an 8-hour audio DVD. And we'll announce the two winners on Labor Day. When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about atheism with the happy atheist, Dr. P.Z. Myers. Stay tuned.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Casting Christ's net on the Internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.